Blog Talk Radio.
This is truly a day that my God has made. And I encourage each and every one of you to find something, even in the midst of these trials, tribulations. You can find something to praise God about, to give him glory in the midst of this. Tonight is Wednesday. It is now the 8:30 hour. It's time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Ian Adams. I'm coming to you from the city of New Orleans, which is in Louisiana. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule, and for all those in other countries that are calling on the line. South Africa, your numbers are large. Canada, I see you're calling. We receive calls from the UK. And we also have calls from the UK because it's listed as the United Kingdom. And we have calls from Nigeria. And I just want to say thank you. God's will, and you still have a desire. Continue to join us on Wednesday night. And my prayer is that God bless each and every one of you. Well, I believe we got so much talk going on about the coronavirus. So I think anything could be said, it's kind of probably already been said. So I want you to know that God is still on his throne, still in control, and he has your best interest at heart. Well, our lesson for tonight is, it's time to stop speaking to God about how big our problems are, but it's time to start speaking to our problems how big our God is. I'm going to say that one more time. You know, it's time to stop talking to God about how big our problems are, but to start speaking to your problems about how big your God is. We're coming out of the book of Philippians, and we're in the 4th chapter, and we're going to expound on verses 4 through 13. I want to tell you tonight that I feel good, and I pray that God keeps you in perfect peace through this. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And the title of the song is I'm in the Middle, talking about God. Listen to the song, and you'll be blessed. I'll come back, and someone can press the one button, and we go to the throne of grace. And then we'll explore the word of God together.
It seems hard to see, I care for you. And sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there.
Happy.
I was yours. Other times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up. Don't give in, I'm right there in the middle. Yeah, yeah, pain, heartache, I'm right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know you right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day. Oh,
being right there in the middle of everything that goes on in our lives. And at this time, I'm asking if anyone would like to pray. You could press the one button on your phone and I'll open up the mic. We all should know that this is praying time. You know, it's time out for certain things. It's praying time. And on the first day of the month, we always read our prayer list, but I'm sure it has grown tremendously because of the debts that are occurring all around us. But Sister Pam is the person that brings our list to life every Monday, every first Wednesday of the month. So Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday, April the 1st, time for the prayer list, and it reads as thus. Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Diane, Dustin, and Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Lance Brown, the Martin family, Tammy Ditto, Berlin Garrett, Garrett Olive, Maddie Lala and family, Devonda Caples, Sharon, Maisha Bryan, Emma Carr and family, Shamika Alexander, Nini, Beverly Ferguson, Daniel, Jasmine, Elizabeth Smith, Cedric Edwards, Rolanda Lacey, Florida Kager, Gregory Kolar, Gwen Ellis, Patricia Johnson, Reverend Thomas, Adrian and Marie, Benita Avis, Minister Tommy Banks, and Sheila.
Praise God.
Lord, I come to you tonight. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Sister Diane.
Go ahead, baby.
I come tonight with a heavy heart, but I know that God is able. Patricia Johnson is my auntie, and today I got some news that she wasn't doing well, and I just got a phone call that her children, they're not taking this very well. Her daughter had to be rushed to the hospital. They're waiting on the ambulance now to come and get her. So I'm just asking for prayer tonight for that family. Father, we thank you tonight for life, just praising your holy name. Thanking you for your grace and for your mercy. Thanking you for your compassion and for your love. Lord, we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. Thanking you for another Wednesday night Bible study, Lord. Thanking you for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. Praying, Lord Jesus, that you continue to allow her to bring forth your word each and every Wednesday night. Lord, we lift up tonight all those that lost loved ones due to this COVID-19 virus. Lord, we praying for those that have the virus. And Lord, stand prayerful for those that has recovered from this COVID-19 virus. Lord, all we can do right now is keep trusting in your word and keep holding on to your unchanging hands. For we know that all power is in your hand. And we know that you are still in control. Lord, all we can do right now is trust and believe that better days are coming. If we just hold on a little bit longer. And I do believe this all will be over. Hold on, people. We just got to hold on to the confession of our faith. Because I believe that this, all that we're going through right now, I believe that it's just a test. That God is testing our faith, people, and we just got to hold on to our faith and trust and believe and know that God is in control of all this. And if we just hold on and trust and believe in him, it'll all be over. But we got to hold on to that faith and trust and believe that God is in control of all of this. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen. Amen. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And it's so amazing. If I listen to the list, they had prayers on there for Emma Carr. When that name was added to the list, she lost a brother. The other day, she lost a daughter. So, you know, prayers are still in order. The other lady, Sister, her name is Morris. She passed away the other day. So we're going to look at our list and we're going to update our list. And we want you to continue to give us the names of anybody you think that needs prayer. Because it's nothing like when you call the name of a person at the feet of Christ, praying in their behalf. Bringing them before Jesus Christ. And we know that now this is praying time. It's not playing time. It's praying time. So we're going to go into our lesson tonight. And the title of the lesson, as I said earlier, but they have so many more calls that then came on. But the title of the lesson is, It's Time to Stop Speaking to God about how big your problems are, but start speaking to your problems about how big your God is. We're coming out of the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 4 through 13, and we're going to expound on that. I pray that each and every one of you had an opportunity to read the whole chapter of Philippians, because if you really want to get a full understanding, you know, sometimes you have to read a chapter before and two chapters after to get a complete picture of beginning, a middle, and an end. But we're in the fourth chapter tonight, and we started at the fourth verse, so if everybody had their Bibles, we could get started. I feel so, I don't even know how to explain it, but God uses every opportunity for his glory. Everything that happened in the world for his glory. You and I as well. And we have to be willing. You know, not everybody, you know, want to say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Everybody, you know, want to get close to God and do more things. And don't get me wrong. That's a beautiful thing. But, you know, it's time to get it right. So we're going to look at the lesson today. And we're in the book of Philippians. I wanted to let you know that the book of Philippians was written by Paul. He wrote the book of Philippians to the people that live in, the Christians, really. There was Christians living in Philippi. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. You know, Paul was a prosecutor of the Christian until he met Jesus. It's amazing. Once you meet Jesus, you should never be the same. And Paul went on to do what God had for him to do. Paul, an apostle of God. So Paul wrote the book of Philippians. So I'm starting the background, and I want to let you know that there are so many people talking as if God told them his exact plans or shared his will concerning the coronavirus. Remember what Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I'm saying this because we can't be certain about what part God is, you know, did he cause it, orchestrate it, or whatever. But one thing we know, God can do whatever he want to do. You know, we don't know for certain if God caused it or just allowed it. You know, some things, people put God with everything. Some things are just what it is. You know, you might have a volcano, and every time it gets to a certain degree, when some lava rocks meet with some other rocks, it's going to erupt. And it may cause a lot of havoc and a lot of danger, you know. And some preachers would be on TV, you know, God erupted the volcano for thus and so. I'm telling you, we can't be certain if God caused it or just allow it. But believe me, even if he orchestrated corona or he just allowed it, you know, there is a purpose with a reason in this season. Remember, God is a God of purpose. God have a master plan, and God, before the foundation of the world, knew that the coronavirus would be taking and causing havoc in the land this day. None of this is taking God by surprise. But what you have to do, like the Sister Pam say, hold on to the confession of your faith. Remember, God is with us. He promised not to leave us or forsake us. And as the song says, even when we can't hear his voice, we just have to trust his plan. Now, how can you trust his plan if you don't know his plan? The plan of God is the word of God. Plan, because he's God and he understands. Remember, God created the world. And when he was finished, hallelujah, he called his whole creation good. And it was perfect. And it was upheld by a perfect God. I'm talking about the Garden of Eden, y'all. You know, everything was perfect. Adam and Eve decided to sin against our God, rebel against what he said. And when that happened, sin entered the world. God didn't bring it in. Now, y'all have to realize when sin came in, you know, it brought a lot of things with it. You see, God is not the initiator of death, suffering, pain, disease, pestilence, or brokenness we see all around us. You see, these things entered the world by sin. And I want you to know that sin is still collecting its consequences, and the last enemy to be destroyed concerning sin is death. Remember when God told Adam and Eve if they ate the apple, truly they would surely die. The devil told them no. Eve ate a piece, and I guess because Adam saw she didn't die, he ate some too. But God was not talking about the physical death. He was talking about a spiritual death. And yes, when they did eat it, their eyes was open. Hallelujah. Their eyes were open, and they began to have a conscience of good and evil. But along with that sin, it had consequences. Even though the sin of that sin was committed in the consequences, the penalty for that for sin is death, don't you realize that's why we're still dying today? Even though Jesus Christ took away our sins, he don't take away the penalty. And the penalty for that sin is still lurking, collecting the consequences for his action. You see, in times like these, we need to know who God truly is so that we can truly trust him with our whole being. You cannot trust someone that you really don't know. That's why some people are compromised, their faith, wishy-washy, and just so, you know, still drinking milk and the things of God. They don't trust him because they don't know him fully. You see, to truly understand God, you must first understand the sovereignty of God. And God has attributes that put him above anything and everything and everybody. And his attributes of being omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything before there was a world, all the way through eternity. And he's omnipotent, all powerful. All powerful. All power is in his hands. You see, when we speak of the sovereignty of God, we are saying that he rules the entire universe. Y'all, he is the boss. And he doesn't need to go in counsel with anyone to operate. Satan get ready to do something. We saw that in the book of Job. He have to go to God first. Hallelujah. Everything that happens is under his control, whether directly or indirectly. You see, God is free and has the right to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, for whomever he wants, because God's will is the final cause of everything. y'all could really see that. I'll give an example. I worked in a funeral home 30 years, so, you know, we always saw that the sickest person was sick enough and lived, and sometimes the wealthiest person was sick enough, little sickness, and died. You know, they always set up rules, you know, like with the when with the coronavirus. They were saying old people over 60 and underlying condition, and they put diabetes and they put heart trouble and they put high blood pressure with it. And now we're getting the 17-year-olds, and we got a couple of babies. You see, because God is in control. He does what he wants because he can and who he is. But all I come to tell you with this sovereignty of God and that, in the midst of all of this, there is good news, the good news of the gospel. That is the hope of every believer, no matter what you're going through, no matter whatever state you're in at this time. The good news of the gospel is hope in the midst of the trial, hope in the midst of the storm. You see, our biggest problem, which is sin, separated us from God, and it has been dealt with. See, that was our, you know, the sin was there, and we had a penalty to pay, and none of us could pay it. But the hope of the gospel is that it has been dealt with on the cross. And we have eternity to look forward to. And this eternity will be free from death, suffering, pain, tears, and the curse of the fall. Because with Jesus Christ and what he did through his blood and suffering, we will live eternally with an eternal God. That's the background, and we're going into the scripture 9. We in Philippians, and we in the 4th chapter, and we're starting at the 4th verse. But I want to go up a little bit so I could give you a clear picture of what this is about. You see, on verses 1, 2, and 3, if you read it, and if you didn't, go back when we get through, or you can might could read it right quick now. In the midst of all things that was going on, you see, in the beginning, well, let's do this. I'm going to read verses 4, 5, and 6. And the verses said, rejoice in the Lord always. And it said, say it again, rejoice. Let your moderation be known. That's your actions, how you treat one another. Let your moderations be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You see, when this chapter opened in the first verse, it was in the beginning of the chapter, Paul thanked the Philippians. That was the people, the Christian that lived in Philippi, because they lived in Philippi. That's why they were called Philippians. Like we live in New Orleans, we New Orleanians. But he thanked them for their support. You know, Paul went around to all of the churches and prayed and wrote letters and got things straight. It was like he was a bishop. But they looked to him, you know, men of the churches. He started after the day of Acts, and they were there. But then Paul thanked them for their support, then spoke about the disagreement. They had two women, and this first verse started off with this thing, and the women that was having an argument, they were in the church. And then Paul tried to He spoke about the disagreement with the two women in that church and said, the word therefore starts the verse off, and when we see therefore, it's telling you, give me your attention. He said, therefore, which conclude that they should stand fast with their relationship of God. So when we get to this full chapter that I just read, if you don't have any background or understand where it's coming from, it wouldn't make that much sense. So before that, that's what was going there. And then Paul wrote the scripture, rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known. Treat each other right. He's saying, watch out. The Lord is coming. That's what the Lord is at hand. He's saying, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto known unto God. And when it says, be careful for nothing, he's really saying, look, stop being anxious. Stop being nervous. You know, because they say that it's a fact that some people going to die during this period of time, not because they caught the virus, but they worried themselves to death. You see, because the Lord is at hand, and then what it means is that Jesus is coming back and he will judge your actions towards all people. You know, during this time, we need to, if we got some crooked relationships, we need to be trying to straighten them out. If we have past hurts, we need to talk about it. Because he said, you know, time is running out. Jesus come back and he's going to judge all of your action towards others. And be careful for nothing. And, it, you know, it's like he's saying, look, don't worry or be anxious about anything. Then he tells us to pray with supplication. Supplication means when you do it humbly and earnestly, you know, not rushing through it, not a quickie and all that, but with supplication, when you pray, be humble and be honest. And, you know, have the desire to spend time with God and want to spend time with God. And he say with thanksgiving, you know, we need to be thankful for everything. And one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. And we should always thank God for what we have. Sometimes people miss to thank God for what they have because they're so busy worrying about what they don't have or chasing something they never could have. But if you take time and thank God for what you have and then begin to trust him for what you need, you're going to be complete. You see, and it's like he's saying, look, don't worry, but just pray. And if you've got to worry, then don't pray. People pray all the time and go, when some of them say, I'm going to lay it on the altar, and before hours so pass, that the wind picked it back up. You either trust Jesus or you don't. You either trust him a little bit, you trust him with some things, and you may be holding back some things. Jesus said, I want, he said, I gave all of me for all of you. And we all have to evaluate ourselves because no one can see your heart. And if we look at verse 7, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. You see, the scripture above was telling us that we how we should treat one another. Talking about the two ladies, and, you know, Paul went in there and tried to make it peaceable. And he was saying how to treat the people, and then he told you don't worry and how to pray. earnestly and everything. But you see, in those things and above scriptures, if you do that, the above scriptures was telling you what to do, and verse 7 is telling you what you get. You see, if we do the things in the above scripture, which was 1 through 3, and then it was 4 through 6. If we do that, we are guaranteed to receive the blessings of peace in our lives. Not just a little peace, but the peace that passes all understanding. I don't know if you ever experienced that in your life, but I want to tell you it's real. You cannot sometime in the circumstances and whatever is going on, you could just look around and you can't even believe it. So sometime you just have to smile. You will be amazed. Just trust him with your whole being. You see, because the scripture said if we do these things, he will keep our heart and mind through Christ Jesus with peace that passes understanding. And like I said, not some things, but all things. So somebody will say, well, Sister Diane, what about the coronavirus going on like this and da-da-da-da-da? I say, he'll give you peace. And how you get it? Knowing that God is in control. That didn't change. The coronavirus didn't strip God of none of his essence. It didn't make him less sovereign. It didn't make him not be able to think or it didn't make him have to go in a council with somebody. God is God all by himself. God speak to the winds and the waves, and he make them all behave. So some say, I lost my job, Sister Diane. I said, you can still have peace because God promised to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Yeah, but you don't understand, I have debt of one of my loved ones. Still, you still could have peace because you got to remember he said in his word that this life is only a vapor. Y'all all often say that your days are numbered from the beginning and you can't leave till God bring you home and your days are ordained and numbered by God. If it's so, it's so. It don't not be so. Because it's you or your loved one. And then some people will say, well, sometimes people, you know, can't never be satisfied with the decision God or anybody else make. Because many times people will tell me, you know, I worked in a funeral home for 30 years, but they could be upset because their mother died and their mama is 94. And I could understand you being upset. Plus, you've been there so many years. You got so much to grieve. I got it. But you're not satisfied with the 94. And my mother died when I was 11. And she was 36. Now, I could just be thankful for God for even giving her to me as a mother, even though the time was short. But I know one thing, and I'm a hold on, because God doesn't make no mistakes. And the 36 years he gave her was enough, because he's God. See, when you get to trust God and you understand the sovereignty in God, you really let him have his way. And he don't need you to let him have his way, because his will is going to be done. And it's not up for grabs. And that's the real deal. You know, and some people say, well, Sister Diane, you know, I can't hardly make it because this social distancing is really, 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 really carrying me. And I just don't know, you know, what to say about this. But I could tell you, you have peace because you're not alone. If you got Jesus, you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then you got to remember what he promised. See, all of these promises is in the Word of God. If you're not reading the Word of God, you don't know the promises. And if you don't know the promises, how can you hold on to the promise? But one of his promises was he promised to never leave you or forsake you. And just as the song we played earlier, he said, I'm right in the middle of everything that's going on. So just in case you can't hear my voice, trust my plan. He said, God, I'm God, and I truly understand. God is a good God, y'all. God is loving and kind and faithful. God gave up his greatest treasure at Jesus' expense. God allowed his only son to die for us. And then you think he'll turn around and not take care of us? God have your best interest at heart. Believe me. I don't know how all this going to turn out. But I'm not looking on the circumstances. I'm looking on God. I'm looking at God. You know, and I tell him little things like, God, can you please show me, you know, the hand of God, which way you're coming? And grant you, if God didn't orchestrate this and he's allowing it, he's going to use it for his glory because he knew the coronavirus was going to be here. And he knew what was going to be shut down. And he was going to use it to his advantage because he's smart. He know all of the things in this world where people focus on and leave him out. You can look at the sports all day long and don't praise God. You know, I'm not going to get in all the facets because, you know, if you know, you could pick them up. You know, and none of these things come on CNN, so it's just my job to talk about it. I ain't seen none of this on MSNBC either. But the point is, the scripture in the beginning say, Jesus is at hand, and it's time out for playing. It's time for praying. You know, God know you. He ain't mad, but let's just get it right. You know, and then verses 8 through 9 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen me do, do it, and the Lord of peace shall be with you. You see, we learned how to get this peace and what you had to do. Now we learn how to keep the peace. He's telling you think on things that are lovely. You have to, when I read that, to me, that described the Word of God. Because the Word of God is true, it's honest, it's just, it's pure, it's quite lovely. And all of it is a good report for your good. You see, the Word of God is virtuous and full of praise. Come on, y'all. So it seemed to me it's telling us our Holy Bible is for our road map to peace. But we must read it, then study it. And don't be just hearers, but become doers. And the God of peace shall be with you. You see, the Bible is full of characters, examples for us to learn from. Whatever they do that is right, then you do the same thing. Imitate them and be blessed. Whatever they do that's wrong, don't do it, or you will receive the punishment that they receive. Y'all know about it all through the Bible. And you see, verse 10, Paul is just using himself for an example tonight. Because verse 10 said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now that at the last your care for me flourish again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunities. He said, yeah, y'all started sending to me again. He said, I even realized y'all didn't have the greatest opportunity to get it to me. You know, it could have been for several things. So he acknowledged that. He said, not that I speak in respect of wants, Paul said, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, wherein to be content. I know both how to abase. And when we look at the word abase, abase means, you know, to almost, let me see the best way to say abase. Abase is when you realize what you have and what you don't have. And if it's a time when you have little, you learn to manage with little. So when he said, I have learned to abate, he's saying, I work it out with what I got. I don't do or spend what I don't have. You know, so many people do that. But the scripture said abase, and then it said abound. And abound means when you have plenty. Paul is using himself as an example. I got a little, I'm all right. I got a lot. I'm all right. Glory be to God. And he be content. And it's not telling you to be so slothful and don't do nothing. Just be content in any kind of state. When you line your activities up with the word of God, and if they wind up nicely, set in him and be content. But if you just content with nothing, for nothing, some men and some women don't want to go to work and don't get nothing, and then they'll say, the scriptures say be content. Don't take it out of character. Because the word of God is not asking you to do that. It's not asking you to do that at all. And then he told them, you know, when he said he didn't want to overwhelm them with giving, to him. That's what he was telling him. He said, you know, I'm all right. Paul say, you know, I've had a lot of trouble. Read the life of Paul. He had a lot of hardships. But he said, I'm content. Now this scripture here, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I've been reading that all my life, and today I got a new revelation, and you guys may have already known it because I always tell you I'm not the smartest person in the class. But the scriptures say I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. You know, when I looked at this, does this verse mean that we can do anything and everything we set our minds to do? Because, you know, that's the way I spoke it. I don't know about you, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But the meaning, does this verse mean that we could do anything and everything we set our minds to? And the answer is no. Because it is an assurance that we can do whatever God calls us to do. Not whatever we decide to do. Come on, y'all. This brings to mind when we say, wherever God guides, he provides. See, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. The strength of God is with you, and he has given you enough strength to perform the purposes that he has given you. And it's enough strength for him to get you into the intended purpose that he designed for your life before the foundation of the world. That's why you can say what God has for you is for you. Why you see some people, you can't imagine how they got what they got, did what they did. Because it was designed by God. Everybody has a purpose designed by God, and he has attached all provisions necessary to accomplish. That's why one of my favorite scriptures in this same book, Philippians 2 and 13, says, "For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." That's saying God has provided everything he needs you to have for his pleasure. And 13 said, "For it is God which worketh." See, God is working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Then he gave you the provisions to perform it. Then he gave you enough strength to do it. Come on, y'all. And still some people turn their back on God. Sometimes it's because of ignorance. Because they don't know the will of God for their lives or the purpose for their lives. But God's plan is pretty awesome. You see, this passage is not about having financial abundance. Some teach a prosperity gossip that say God will bless us financially if we are faithful. Some say name it and claim it. Some say if you don't take and plant this seed, so and so. And they go on and on and on and on. I ain't talking about the people on the street. I'm talking about the people in the church house. Like God, like they found something new in the book that everybody else is missing now, that God wants you to be financially blessed. God never told you he didn't want you to not be financially blessed, but he always warned us of how we get it and what we do to get it and what we're willing to do to keep it. It's the problem, not the problem of having it. Because they say money is the root of all evil, and it's not the love of money. And the love of money ain't the root if you do it right, but not the love of what you do with the love of it makes you do for it. It's the problem. You see, in contrast, Paul taught that the believers will endure suffering but can be content. See, he was saying all of this. I'm content. People think he was saying with his resources. But even in his suffering, he was content, he's telling us, in any circumstance given by God and given the strength of Christ. He said, that's how I make it. Not on my strength, but on Christ's strength. And just as Christ faithfully endured on the cross, his followers can faithfully endure the problems they face. Jesus said in his word, "Must I bear the cross alone for all the world go free?" Jesus said, "No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you, and there's a cross for me." We all have hard times, bad times. But when can we get to the point when no matter what goes on in our lives, because of our faith in God, we could say it is well. And then when something else come along and it's trying to, you know, have us like in a ship tossed from side to side, and you could say, all right, but God. Stop talking to your problem. Stop talking to God about your problems. Start talking to your problems about God. Coronavirus, I just want to give you notice. God is truly in control. Coronavirus, I want you to know that God can make the winds and the waves behave. God can remove anything out of the air. Coronavirus, God is a good God and a faithful God. And if it's God's will, it's going to be done. And you will have to bow down. because he's sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. But we got to also, in all of this, realize that God's will is going to be done. And we have to let God have his way. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane with the Father and he wasn't ready to taste the bitterness of death, he said, God, if there's any way that you could do this differently, he said, please remove the cup. But not our will, but thy will. So tonight I say, Lord, if it's your will, please remove the effects of the coronavirus so that your people may live and not die. Lord, we come before your throne of grace, asking for mercy on every side. Lord, we know you're able, and we know you're willing, but we respect that you have a will, and your will be done. And we thank you for your Son and your Spirit. Protect us, dear God. You say that you take care of us from danger seen and unseen. Some people live in the same house, 10 people in a house, Lord, and 2 get the coronavirus and 8 don't. But God, hallelujah, glory be to your wonderful name. And that's our program for tonight. And if anyone would like to do anything at this time, you can press the 1 button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. And Jesus said, yeah, I know everything is going on down there. But if you go to Philippians, this same book, and go to the 1st chapter and go to the 6th verse, he said that he wants you to be confident, because the work that he has begun in you, he's able to perform it until Jesus comes back again. Be confident. God got this. And God didn't initiate it. It's always attached to sin. When God created everything, he said, oh, it's good. And it was good. All this brokenness was attached to sin. If no one has anything to say, we're going to end our program tonight. I thank each and every one of you who took time out of your schedule to call in tonight, and it's my desire, and I pray that it's God's will that you'll meet us back on Wednesday and we'll explore the word of God together. But to each and every one of you, I say good night, and God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Good night.